I meant the analogy is not totally landing for me, not the condos as a murderer. Is it for the same reasons like you described last night, with the drawbacks of the condos? Old age, sickness and death, not satisfying? Or is it more like we place our trust in it, like you said, we mount the top, and then it turns on us? The reasons I just mentioned, is that essentially what it comes down to?
That's my interpretation of it, is that it's the traitorous nature of the five khandhas that he's referring to. It's sort of like over and over and over again, we get kind of sucked into the belief that some investment in the khandhas or something within in the realm of the khandhas is going to bring us some sort of everlasting satisfaction, and so we keep on trusting that that will happen and hoping that that will happen over and over and over again, and only to find that that kind of refuge can't be found in any of the khandhas because of the very nature of being impermanent and changing. There's no consistent trust that you can place in them. So they have that traitorous nature to them, that in a sense they'll turn on you.
I find the traitorous nature that I understand. So if the analogy were like you hire a butler into your home and he turns out to be a thief, would that be exactly the same, or is there something implicit in the murder idea? I guess I'm sort of stuck on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on the traitors.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. So maybe the commentary has some sort of, probably they have some sort of opinion. Paul, do you have any sense of that?
In the sense of
what's being murdered.
Place of trust in it. And whatever you've invested in terms of sense of self is in the same way that your life is taken from you. So is any investment in form, feeling, perception, mental formations, conscious, any identity, attachment, hope, that's completely taken away from you. So that basically one's life, what one has assumed, as one's life, is then taken away from it.
Perhaps it's murder as opposed to thief, simply because that's the most extreme.
It's the most extreme, yes. I think that's the reason for it. He's pummeling. So with the most kind of vivid imagery.
Yeah, it makes sense. And that he uses the most extreme kind of example because that's what it takes, to get us to pay attention.
It isn't. They're not so nice to you.
Yeah, or if you trust in them, you're going to have a bad day. The commentary here, of course, has its sort of. I'm not particularly satisfied with it, but I'll read it out. The uninstructed worldling attached to the round is like the gullible householder. The five fragile aggregates, like the murderous enemy. When the enemy comes up to the householder and offers to serve him, that is like the time the aggregates are acquired at the moment of rebirth. When the householder takes the enemy to be his friend, that is like the time the worldling grasps the aggregates, thinking, they are mine. The honor the householder bestows on the enemy, thinking, he is my friend, is like the honor the worldling bestows on the aggregates by bathing them, feeding them, etc. The murder of the householder by the enemy is like the destruction of the worldling's life when the aggregates break up.
I do like the you actually take the murderer in, and you take the kunjas in, and
right.
You bathe them, you
feed them,
look after them, find clothes for them. It's a really nice image.
That's true. Well, the worldling who has an annihilationist view.
Yeah.
But if you hold an eternalist view, then...
Or not just that view, but you don't have to help. That was just as I was going to say that. Yeah.